Philippians 2. I have been studying Philippians 2 now for, I think, about 4 months. I read it every morning, as well as other passages, but every single morning I read through Philippians 2. Dr. A.H. Stewart, years ago at Bob Jones, spoke, and he said, what you must do is read a book. Choose a smaller book to begin with and read the book clear through every day for 30 days. And he said, then at the end of that, you'll be familiar with it. He said, you won't remember it all, but you'll be familiar with it. And I'm finding that now to be true. But I will tell you this. Unless you want to face some agony, you better not delve into it. Because it is really true. I feel like that I'm being taken through a shredder or a ringer. And God is mashing me to a great degree. You say, how so? Well, without belaboring any points, I find that at this point, right now, my wife is not well. We don't understand it, but she is at home tonight. She will not like it because I tell you. But from today, when she woke up, she couldn't see out of her left eye. And what does that mean? We don't know. And she was dizzy this morning when she came and helped Carl. But she stayed anyway and went home. And this evening, before we left, she said, I just don't believe I can go. Now, when my wife says that, I know that she's not well. She would not miss for anything. But she is at home tonight. And I'm thinking about what I told the Lord, told the men in men's prayer. I do know this for sure. If you really want your life to be greatly used, if you really do, I mean rock bottom, dead serious, without any reluctance. If you want that, you better get ready. Because you will be greatly bruised. You will. Oh, you will. Now, when I say that, don't you dare feel sorry for me. Listen, this is wonderful. It is wonderful. And so, when you and I look at the two verses particularly, we'll read more than just the two, but the two verses, number one and two, that's where we'll spend most of our time tonight. But if you will watch, please, and watch in the text, and I'll read from chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation, watch the words now, consolation in Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, you'll notice, capital S, Holy Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Two more verses. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then Paul, under the direction of the Spirit of God, goes ahead and gives a tremendous explanation about the exaltation of the Savior. In a moment, we'll pray. But I want you to think about something here. I'm beginning to see this. Notice I said beginning. Now I'm looking at you, and spiritually speaking, that I quite well know that every one of you is better than myself. I'm not putting you on now. Every one of you, you are better than myself. When I make that statement, it seems like every single day that goes by, God gives me a test to test my statement or to test my thought after I've been in this chapter for that morning. Every day there's a test. I wish I could tell you I passed them all. But I certainly want to. Because I quite well know that for me, this passage here is key to my whole being. It is. I've been saved since I was 20. I'm 83. So I've been saved a while. And I'm absolutely shocked. I mean it. I am shocked about what I don't know. But you know, it used to be that I didn't realize I didn't know. I thought I knew. And I was quite impressed with myself. Now, nobody else was, but I was. And now, I'm not impressed with myself. But I can tell you honestly, I am impressed with you. You listening? I mean it. Now, does that mean you're perfect? No. You know, you have your faults, and they're rather individualistic. But if you're growing in grace, you'll get over them. The key is, do you have a real desire to get over them? Some people live 15 years and keep the same faults. They never get over them. And I say this before we pray now. If you are unkind to someone, would you please tell me chapter and verse that allows you to be unkind to anyone? I'm listening. Well, you're wise. Because you don't. And I don't. No, I don't. I never have a right to be unkind to anyone. Now, that doesn't make you a milksop. No. But it does make you consciously aware of the fact that you're to be kind and tender-hearted toward everyone. Did you hear that? And so when I look at you tonight, I only see the outside. But as I get to know you in fellowship, I'll begin to sense the inside. Therefore, that behooves me to grow. So that when you become aware of what's on my inside, it will not discourage you. But instead, in fellowship, it will encourage you. Amen. Now we're going to pray. Pastor, I do want you to pray just now.
Lord, you're already working in our hearts, and Oh my, I don't want to be that person that repeats the same faults for 15 years. I do want to be someone who grows and someone who is open to what you have me to learn. I thank you for Brother Chuck, and Lord, bless him. And what a passage. And Lord, I can see now that this is going to be life-changing. I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the first place, when it comes to this matter of fellowship, what I say tonight will be a supplemental message to pastors. This one tonight will be just a little bit different in perspective, but it'll carry the same meaning. See, fellowship is essential to growth in grace. Now, don't miss these words. It's also essential to growth in character. Fellowship. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, your reputation is what men think you are, and your character is what God knows you to be. I agree with that. See, ever since creation, man has not been meant to be alone. If you will remember, when God created the man, he also expressed his own presence with the man. The man was not alone. And then in God's time, he provided a companion, a complement, a completer, one that would be beside the man, follow the man, work with the man, obey the man. God did not want the man to be alone. Now, there's not a man alive, hear me carefully, there's not a man alive that can be satisfied to live by himself. No. It always alters the person. They become a recluse. They become strange in their thinking. If they don't have someone, humanly speaking, to talk to, they're strange. They get to the place where people wouldn't know them if they met them. It is designed by God that a man should not be alone. Now sometimes it's unavoidable. I understand that part of it. But you can always depend on this. If the man has no companionship, if a man has no connection, if a woman has no connection with another human being, they become lopsided. They do. And there's a purpose behind that. Because every child of God, particularly, needs fellowship. That's why you don't stay home and find a reason why the church is not important except for one service on Sunday. No, that's wrong. You and I desperately need the fellowship. We need it. And the fact is, I need fellowship with those above me. I need fellowship with those beside me. And I need fellowship with those beneath me. That's not talking about demeaning position now. But it's obvious that some folks serve in such a way that in the chain of command, they're below someone else. So it doesn't matter if it's up or down or beside. I need fellowship. And the fact is that if I do not have it, I will not grow in grace the way I should. And I certainly will not grow in fellowship the way I should. Now that has a meaning behind the wonderful exposition on the part of Pastor in his messages about fellowship. Such fellowship, it must be inward rather than outward. So easy to be a phony. You know that everyone in this room at times are phony. You don't like that? Lump it. You are, so am I. But you can get over it. And God wants you to get over it. And honest transparency provides a way by which you won't be a phony. Did you hear me? Honest transparency. So that when people are around me, they get to know me from the inside out. And they're not discouraged by what they get. But what they hear. By what they see. See, the fact is communion rather than communication is important. I mean, it must be in the spirit and sympathy more than in some kind of an outward form. Did you notice the words? Sympathy. The spirit of sympathy for another, for the body. I mean, if one is of one mind, he does not mind if the other one at times is silent. Why? Because one mind so gives you fellowship in such a manner that you enjoy each other whether you talk or not. Some people talk all the time. Some people seldom talk. Well, now both is not good. If I'm going to communicate with you, it's important that I say something. But I don't need to tell you all I know, which means that I talk too much. Now, we don't know who that might be, but it might be you. And if it is, get over it. Or if you're the kind that you don't talk, get over it. If you're going to fellowship from the inside out, then there has to be communication that understands each other. And when it takes place, there is some conversation, there is some talk, but not all on the part of one. That's important. If you talk too much, you're offensive. If you don't talk enough, people wonder, what in the world's the matter with you? So you have to find that balance. Then fellowship will come to us through a common interest. First of all, it's the Savior. He's the rock. He's the foundation. He's the Savior. He's the keeper. You are kept by the power of God. A common interest. But not only the Savior, His Word. Don't ever belittle the Word of God. By statement or by practice. You ought to be in it every day. Now, I don't have the right to tell you what to do. But I will tell you this. If you're not in it every day, you're the loser. I do have a right to tell you that. If you're not in it every day, you're the loser. There's something interesting, almost, not quite, but almost mystical, about what God's Word does in you if you're in it every day. Your view of things changes. Your view of people changes. Your treatment of your spouse changes. The way you treat your income tax changes. Oh, yeah, it does. But you can't just be, if you're an intellect, academic. You can't be. You have to be with it in heart. And when you're with it in heart, then God, in speaking to your heart, then in the heart, it's out of the abundance of the heart, that the mouth speaketh. And so, if I want this to be right, this has to be right. And with this being right, whoo, the rest of it can be right. So this matter of fellowship, fun, church, work, people, accomplishment, it comes through a common interest. And then this fellowship involves the loving concern for others. You say, where are you getting all this? It's right there in verses 1 and 2. That's where it is. That's what the words mean. See, you become consciously aware of the hurts of people in the body. The hurts. And there's some folks in this room tonight, you are really hurting. Some of it might be physical. Some of it might be emotional. Some of it might be spiritual. But there are people in this room tonight that are really hurting. And your fellowship with those people gives you an opportunity to be a blessing. Did you hear me? That's why it's so desperately important that you don't skip. Brother Ken, we don't know because God's the orchestrator. But when you come to church, and I know you couldn't come this morning, bless your heart. We missed you. But when you come to church, you may have a hurting that's more than even physical. And let's suppose that God has given me an assignment unknown to me. And I come to church. And in just a brief kind of time, I say what God wants me to say without even planning it ahead of time. I didn't know anything about it. And I speak the very words that bring to you encouragement in your time of hurting. Now, folks, don't you put that aside. That's important. Everybody that smiles is not happy. There are people that have the joy, but their heart aches. And they need the comfort of believers in the body. They need that comfort. And God uses the Spirit, His own Spirit, to bring that kind of comfort. Here it is. The Holy Spirit is the comfort, but Jesus is the comfort. Comforter Spirit, Jesus comfort. That's who the Holy Spirit applies. The Savior who saved you, who keeps you, who loves you, who's going to take you to glory one of these days. The Holy Spirit applies the written word and the living word in every case of every believer who has a need. Yes. And I want to be available. Now I want to be sure that I can offer to someone when I don't even know. Do you remember David's men? About 600. Now, if you think those were good guys, listen, those were Harley boys. I mean, those guys were tough. Those guys, they knew how to fight. They did it all the time. But if you will check your Bible and see what happened when they finally came into the presence of God's man, David, something happened. And because of the persuasive power of the Spirit of God who was in, not on, in David. When the Spirit of God expressed Himself through David, it drew all of those men around David to such an extent that they supported him in his desires and his plans for the future. And it was that very thing that God did that finally defeated the whole kingdom of Saul. That was it. People are important. And the body is extremely important. I mean, the fellowship in the church, the center of which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're welded together in a common love to the Savior and a common devotion to the interests of His kingdom. And this is the basis of closest fellowship. I want to be right with Him so that I can be right with you. And if I'm not right with you, I'm not right with Him. It works this way. Right with God, right with you. Not right with you, not right with God. That's the way it works. And you're kidding yourself if you're not right with a believer and you don't make it right. You're not right with God. No! That's plain biblical teaching. Amen. Therefore, I want you to see this now. In this passage, you thought I'd never get to it. In this passage, there are five bonds of fellowship. Number one, there's the consolation which is in Christ. You'll find it right there in verse 1. That's a persuasive power to maintain fellowship. Now don't miss that. I mean, there are times in life when you are incensed about somebody else. But then, if you will bow, and if you'll surrender, then you can become tenderized by the very power of the Holy Spirit toward that someone with whom you've been incensed. Did you get that? There's not a one of us who doesn't become incensed sometimes. See, He, the Holy One, He has checked you to restrain you, and you have abandoned that ugliness that has altered your attitude. And the Spirit of God has persuaded you to drop your weapons of reprisal. Oh yeah. No payback. No. No payback. And instead, the Spirit of consolation has established for you that bond of peace. Huh? Secondly, there's the bond of the comfort of love, knowing the tender cheer that love gives. And to see to it that you maintain the bond of Christian fellowship with a cheering spirit of love. I mean, all around us are those who are weakened in the faith, and we need to be careful that we are on the lookout. Let us see to cheering the weakened with a welcomed word and a grasp of our hand and something to draw that forlorn one into the circle of loving fellowship. And little do you know, but in that kind of disposition, as you exercise it, some folks who come sometimes are being tempted to take their own life. And you, by God's grace, without knowing it, speaking the kind word, are responsible to cause the disposition of that person to be altered in such a way that they give up the idea of taking their life. Amen. 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 And then the third bond is the fellowship of the Spirit. You share the Spirit. The going in, it means the going in common with the Spirit. And those who live near God, they know what that fellowship is. They know they're always accompanied wherever they go. They realize it, they recognize it, they sense it. The very person of God. A fellowship with that same Spirit that Brother Ted has and I have and Brother Roy has and I have and Brother Mark has and that I have and that Sharon has and I have the same Spirit because He, the Holy Spirit, is in each of us, and He wants us to live out what you're seeing in this chapter. I want you to understand something. As you and I have fellowship with the same Spirit, we cannot lose our temper with another. Did you hear me? Lest you didn't hear me. You and I, with that Holy Spirit living in us, we cannot lose our temper with another. You can't shoot your mouth off with another. Some people are noted for brushing their teeth with gunpowder. They're always shooting their mouth off. You know, that ought never be so with a child of God. No. And so, I need to be kind, not unkind, with another or to another. Now, hear me carefully. I never have the right to be unkind. No. Then the fourth bond, bowels of mercies. That's that inner humanness and pity. I mean, we're to show fellowship for the weary, for those whose spirits cry out in agony. In doing so, we're doing what we can do to cooperate with the Savior in His consolation and with the Holy Spirit in His fellowship to build up the body into a living unity called Woodside Baptist Church. Huh? And then the fifth bond is a common mind and purpose. And that you be like-minded, being of one accord and of one mind. See, here it is. The deepest thought in Christian fellowship, and that which makes us one is the desire to make Jesus King. That's it. That's the deepest thought. The fact is, you and I ought to make him king that he may be honored and loved, that thousands may bow the knee and confess that he is Lord. Would you like to know what will put a catalyst into soul winning? This fellowship to be right. That'll do it. And with a city that is bleeding to death, and with children being stolen every night, and with the drug lords having a heyday, and with the stupidity of our government to allow legalization of marijuana, the whole city is full of those that need to be saved, that need to be lifted. Oh, that this is ever prominent among us. Five bonds. Two verses. Packed to such a degree that if you studied these two verses for the next 6 weeks, you'd barely touch the surface. Now here's the way it is. Knowing that I must give an account for every word. The day is coming when I must give an account for every word. And by the way, I'm not alone. You will too. And I have to get to the place where even though he sings too loud, I love him with all my heart. Amen. And even because Brother Thames talks too soft, I love him with all of my heart. And because you might come and have food on your tie, I love you with all of my heart. And when this church practices this kind of fellowship, I will tell you something. Get ready, community. Because you'll have to take your shoes off because it's holy ground. And the bush will burn. And folks will be reached. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black with sin? Has Christ come within? Has he come within to stay? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, and he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today.